Right now, retail giants Kmart, JCPenney, and Gap closed thousands of stores this year, which can sometimes point to a rough economy. But consumer confidence is booming. People are still spending, and they're more confident about the economy than they've been in 17 years. Dee Warmath is an assistant professor of consumer science at the University of Wisconsin's Wisconsin-Madison School of Human Ecology. Dee, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you'd think that with consumer confidence at an all-time high, stores would be doing pretty well. But CNN says over 6,000 brick-and-mortar stores closed this year, more than any year on record. So why is that happening now?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons, and there are a lot of global reasons, and there are a lot of specific retailer, individual retailer reasons. Personally, I don't think it's a problem. That number of stores is less than 1% of total retail establishments in the U.S. So even though it's high, it probably isn't enough. So if you think about the fact that in America, we have a little over 20 square feet of retail space for every man, woman, and child. And in Europe, that's about 2.5 feet for every person. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely an overstored economy, and that is getting much worse given the fact that stores are no longer the point of purchase. They're just one stop along the destination to a purchase. And so I think that this is not necessarily a bad thing. No, people have been calling it the retail apocalypse, which I think is probably a little overstated for what's really happening.
So it sounds like you're saying that this is more of maybe a correction in the retail consumer industry than an apocalypse, like you're saying it's sometimes being called.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what it is an evolution. I think that, you know, now that we have e-commerce and m-commerce and every other form of commerce that's possible, you don't necessarily have to go into a store to make a purchase. It used to be that if you didn't have a store in every one of those towns, that people couldn't come to you, they couldn't buy from you. That's no longer the case. So I think that what we're seeing is retailers really having to rethink why they have stores, what's the role of those stores, and then therefore, where should those stores be to deliver what needs to be delivered in the emerging retail marketplace? So stores are kind of a thing of the past, even though the majority of retail sales still occur through them. And by stores in that sense, I mean stores that are treated like glorified warehouses to hold a lot of product for people to go and to pick up. Now you can have that product in an actual warehouse down the street and have it delivered to your house. So stores have to rethink what it is that they do and why they exist.
So if I'm understanding this, maybe some of those stores that we're hearing or those chains that are closing, you know, dozens of stores, brick and mortar stores, maybe they're not actually hurting so much in what they're selling because they're selling in different ways.
That's true. And I think if you look at some of the numbers, I've read some reports that say that retail employment is actually up, even though stores are being closed. So thinking about how those retail employees are being redeployed or you know, winning retailers and what they're using these new hirings for in that way, like that would be a very interesting thing to go and explore more deeply. So it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing for retail sales that stores are closing. It could be a good thing. Now, there are some chains that are closing entirely and some that are expected to close. And I think that that's very sad because obviously that's a lot of loss for the people who work for those retail organizations. And there are people who just sort of ran out of time, right? Because they couldn't figure out how to evolve for the current retail marketplace in time to sort of save themselves and save the jobs of the people who work for them. When you look at others who have 1,000 stores and they're choosing to close 100 of those stores, to me, that feels like prudent business. So I think that we have to look at each of these on a case-by-case basis and what were the things that they couldn't do that didn't allow them to evolve into the new marketplace.
We're talking with Dee Warmath. She's an assistant professor of consumer science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's School of Human Ecology, and we're looking at the fate of brick-and-mortar stores and how that does or doesn't correlate with consumer confidence and consumer activity. And Dee, so in this new type of economy that you're describing, what thrives and what doesn't? What gets consumers feeling good and spending money?
Well, lately, one of the things that has gotten consumers to spend money are deep discounts, right? If you want me to play the game and you're willing to give me enough of an incentive, you're willing to pay me to come into your store, I'll come in. That doesn't seem sustainable. So the things that I think are really going to thrive going forward are the retail establishments that understand the consumer and the consumer needs. And we talk about evolving to the future of retail, but in some ways it's sort of like going backward in time, because that's what happened in those early original retail stores back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They had to know their consumers. They had to convince them and stock the product they needed and provide the experience when they came in the door that they expected to keep them coming back. So I think that if we can get away from this sort of mass herd mentality of get people in the store and get them to make a purchase while they're there and buy other things they didn't intend while they're there, and start to really go back to what does a consumer want? What does a consumer need? What are their aspirations for experience? What are their aspirations for a relationship? And how can I find a meaningful connection with the consumer? That's how you're going to get consumers into your doors.
So that's really interesting to me, because not that long ago, 20, maybe 30 years ago, the huge concern and fear was that the big retailers were driving out the mom and pop businesses. And, you know, we were losing all these small, very personality driven and personalized businesses in favor of these big boxes that, you know, it's the same whether you walk into it in, you know, Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, or somewhere in California. And now it sounds like you're saying that maybe the trend to get ahead of the trend is to go back more towards those values of those independent retailers.
Absolutely. I mean, I do think that they had it right. At least in that relationship experience side of things. They didn't necessarily have the purchasing power that the large big box retailers had. They couldn't offer the prices and the discounts. They couldn't make sure that you could find what you needed no matter where you were. And they didn't have as much resources to invest in some of the new channels for retail sales. So I think that was a challenge. But certainly going back to the authenticity of their story, the connection they had with the community, you know, those are things that that retailers, the larger retailers today, are trying to figure out, because they know that's important to their future.
So it does seem, obviously, that a much larger portion of online shopping is taking a big chunk out of shopping in general. But still, I think I saw a statistic recently that it's still only about 17 or 19% of all consumer shopping is online, whereas it feels like it's so much. Who is doing that online shopping, and is that likely to continue to grow?
And I think a lot of people are doing that online shopping. Some people do only online shopping, and other people dabble. And I think that it's going to continue to grow. And I think ultimately we're going to become very channel agnostic, right? It's going to be about retail sales and not necessarily specifically where they occurred. But over this holiday season, retail sales grew, I think it was 20% compared to 4.9% for total retail. So certainly growing faster and faster. And there are a lot of different reasons why people do that. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's I need something unusual or an unusual size and they don't have it in store. So I think there are a lot of reasons why people are turning to e-commerce more and more. And I also think another factor is that retailers are figuring out how to do certain categories. I teach a retail channel strategy course here at Madison, and I used to talk 5-6 years ago about the fact that home improvement was a category that no one had really figured out in the e-commerce space, and now you have Wayfair.
Right.
And, you know, and so they figured it out. So I think that as people find ways to overcome barriers to shopping for particular categories online, more and more people are going to be willing to go online to do their shopping.
Briefly, as we start getting towards the end of the interview, how does loyalty fit in? Because I think it used to be there was a lot of loyalty to the store on your corner or to the airline that you bought your tickets from, because you went into a travel agent and asked for a ticket on Pan Am. We'll use one that's not even around anymore. And now with aggregator sites and stuff, you're going in there and you're looking at the cheapest one. And for the most part, it's like, I don't care what airline it is. If it's $30 cheaper and it's direct, I'm going to take it. Are we losing some of that loyalty in general in the consumer realm?
Well, I think that you'd have to question whether loyalty really existed or not. I mean, 80% of the people that belong to retailers A's loyalty program also belong to retailer B's loyalty program. So in some ways, there probably wasn't. But I think that that it's incumbent on the retailer to be able to find connections so that the consumer then decides to put their eggs in that basket to build relationships with that particular airline or retail store.
Well, Dee, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dee Wormath is an assistant professor of consumer science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Human Ecology. She joined us to talk about the changing fate of brick-and-mortar stores. Stay with us here on Central Time.